Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. The word is boycott, boycott, boycott. We are boycotting in Florida, and we are boycotting all the Whirlpool products. Don't matter whether it's washer, dryer, stove, and refrigerator. Maytag, KitchenAid, anything that has Whirlpool on it. We are boycotting. We're going to show them what we are capable of doing. We had a boycott on them in the year 2008 and 2009, which gave them a negative credit rating, almost caused them to be junk stock, but they got back on their feet. But we're going at them again. The key word is boycott, boycott, boycott. And black folks, you out there, we have to start keeping our money in our pockets. We do have some positive news from the city of Benton Harbor. We are imposing an income tax on all the people that work in the city of Benton Harbor and don't live here. We are putting an income tax on their butts. Reason why, they get their money and they leave. More than 97% of the people that work in Benton Harbor do not live in it. Whirlpool employs less than 1% of the people that live in the city of Benton Harbor. They're trying to drive everybody out. I tell you, we must impose this income tax, but we got to vote on it November 5th. Those who live in the city of Benton Harbor who are listening to this program, go to the vote polls and vote yes. We must win on November the 5th, so vote yes. Also, our schools, that's right, our schools here in Benton Harbor are in total shambles. Absolutely, absolutely. I just wrote an article in reference to it to let people know what we're thinking about. And believe me, we are thinking about these folks. We are trying to change the flavor. We are trying to make sure they understand how serious this thing is. We put a recall in for 3 of the school board members. And during that process, Lou Buchanan and Martha Mamiya, all 3 Whirlpool supporters, we put a recall on them. Willie Locke approached me acting like he had a pistol, because he know this boycott not only going through, but also the recall that we're going to do. We're going to boycott. He owns a barbecue place here in the city of Benton Harbor. It is the nastiest barbecue you ever tasted in your life. We plan on boycotting and picketing that barbecue place. So those of you out there, we're doing some things. It's always best to do something, which is better than sitting around and doing nothing. And I say this to my black brothers and sisters. You are the busiest people there is in the world that's actually doing nothing. Not all of you, but most of you. So I want you to do me a favor. I want everybody out there, I want you to take this number down. So I'm going to give you a moment to go get a pencil. I want you to call Terry Stanton. He's in Lansing, Michigan. I want you to call 517-355-2167. And I want you to ask to speak to Terry Stanton. That's S-T-A-N-T-O-N. Tell him that we want him to stop outsourcing everything in the city of Benton Harbor. As you know, we have an emergency manager, better known as a dictator. He has absolute power. But we can put enough pressure on this guy so he can stop outsourcing everything. Once again, the number is 517-355-2167. That's Terry Stanton. I will repeat that number before the show is over. I will give you an opportunity to write that number down. I'm going to say it one more time. That's Terry Stanton, 517-355-2167. Please, I want everybody to call and tell them to stop outsourcing things in Benjamin Harbor, the water, the cemetery, public works, you name it, they're outsourcing it. And I want people to know that we're not going to go for that. So let's fight together and get this thing done. Those of you out there, we need your help. Now let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennesonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we are having a time of our life battling these folks down here in beautiful, beautiful Benton Harbor, the city of no return. We are doing the things that need to be done, and we're going to continue doing things that have to be done. And listen, I'm going to bring on my good friend, Mary. I promised I was going to bring her on first today, so I'm going to give her a chance to talk and tell us what's going on. Mary, are you there?
Well, I am here, Reverend Pinckney, and what a surprise. I'm glad to be first on your show because your show is what's happening. I tell you, Reverend Pinckney, I'm so proud that God blessed you with this wonderful opportunity to reach the whole world with the truth. And the truth is that we must stand united against oppression. We must stand united and fight for those who are too weak to fight for themselves. Some people are unwilling or unable to stand up and speak truth to power the way we do every Sunday on the Reverend Pinckney Show. But we are here and we're glad to represent. And we are representing not just you and not just me, but we're representing the work of Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ who is the Word of God, and he said in the Word in Proverbs 31, 8 through 9, he says, stand for the poor and oppressed and all who are slated for death, everyone. And so that is in the Bible, and he is speaking to you. And when I say he, I mean God the Father. And so you might serve a different God. You might even be an atheist and agnostic. But whatever you are, as far as worshiping is concerned, you know that we do need a voice. We need a voice against oppression. We need a voice against senseless wars. We need a voice against economic depression. We need a voice, and we have a voice. We have Reverend Pinckney's show every Sunday. And we have many other grassroots organizations that we need to support. You know, we have found out over the years that if you don't support people who are standing up for right, then you will lose those voices. Yes, you will lose those voices. So please, I ask you right now, so before you get started listening to all the great news and information that you will learn on the Reverend Pinckney Show this Sunday, I ask you to get your pen and paper so that you will be prepared to copy down the address and go ahead and make out a generous check to Reverend Pinckney and the Banco organization, that's B-A-N-C-O, because we are so proud of the work that is going forward on this Blog Talk Radio show. We're proud of him standing with the targeted individuals. We're proud of Reverend Pinckney standing with people like myself, who police have killed their loved ones and not even giving any accountability for it. We're proud of Reverend Pinckney for standing with the prisoners and being a court watcher every week. Every week he goes to the courthouse and watches out and see how justice is handling people, many of whom should not even be before the bench. We're proud of him traveling throughout the nation when he can and standing and going to organizations and going to different committees and speaking out for our concerns. We're proud of that. We're happy about that, and we must support it. So right now, Reverend Pinckney, I'm going to ask you if you get a chance to call me back later, and I'll tell you some interesting news that's going on. But I think it's a great start to the program if people will go and get their pencils and paper and write down your mailing address, because it takes money to do these things. You know, people used to be more generous to support civil rights and human rights back in the 60s when they had less money.
Mm.
Oh, yes, they were more generous. You know, those buses that went from the cotton fields and the people who were practically in slavery and made it to Washington, D.C., that was the people's money that paid for those buses. Oh, yes, we used to be more generous about supporting human rights when we worked all week for $3 than we are today. And so I say to you that that is wrong. Many of us have turned our backs on our new leadership, and we needed new leadership, and we were always saying, why won't somebody do something about this? Well, Reverend Pinckney is stepped forward, and he is one of those somebodies. And you know something? You are one of those somebodies. And if you can't go in person to all the meetings that Reverend Pinckney goes to, if you don't have the nerve or the opportunity to go to the courthouse through the week and watch over justice, if you don't have the wherewithal to have your own radio show on Sunday evenings like Reverend Pinckney does, then why don't you support this ministry? Support it, and then you share in this work. Thank you very much, Reverend Pinckney. Call me back later for some great news and information that I have to share. But I just felt that first and foremost on my heart is to remind people that we are expected to share the burden of the financial cost of our own liberation. So please give your mailing address, sir. I believe they're ready.
All right. Well, you know, you can always, if you care to send a few dollars to, you send it to Banco. That's B-A-N-C-O. We are 501c3. That's 1940 Union Avenue. That's Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. That's Banco. 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. Mary, I'm going to thank you so much for that, and I will hit you up later. I'll make sure I save some time just for you.
Well, thank you, sir.
All right.
I praise God for you, Reverend Pinckney.
Amen. I appreciate those thoughts. Anyway, we're going to bring on Lee Robinson, but unfortunately, Lee Robinson is not on the line at this time, so I'm going to bring on a guy that you may not know about, but he's my dear friend. He, matter of fact, we was in grade school together, high school together. We played on the same baseball team. He was a 250 hitter, unfortunately, and I had to send him down the right field line. But he was my friend. He was my guy. And I tell you one thing, I just love this guy. He was in the service. He was a major in the service. Absolutely. Those of you who want to say something about the service, this guy was a major. His name is Larry Pinson Sr. He developed a program called CHAPS, a system to create jobs in the government and private sector, in which employees or employers get free labor and pay no benefits. Larry Pinson attended 6 military schools. He has a very successful military career in which he was awarded numerous military decorations and awards. He achieved the rank of major and was an honorable discharge. In addition, he served 18 years in the Illinois National Guard. Larry Pinson worked for the postal system for 16 years and retired in 2009. He created CHAPS. He wrote this book. He did it all by himself, which is hard for me to believe, but after undertaking an enduring understanding to the postal system, he found it was necessary to do this. So I got to bring on my good friend, my guy. I call him Yogi, but his name is Larry Pinson from Chicago, Illinois. Larry Pinson, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine, Larry. How you doing, man?
I'm just doing great. I'm just doing great. And I want to thank you for the pictures you sent me. You brought back all those memories, you know. Especially, you know, I never realized I looked that good. I was so handsome, it was almost scary to look at.
For sure.
Oh, I know
sure.
You don't have nothing to say behind that. I know it. But anyway, let's get down to business. You wrote a book, is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and the book is called CHOPS or CHAPS?
CHAPS.
CHAPS.
CHAPPS.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about CHAPS. Just tell us what is CHAPS.
Okay, CHAPS is a pay system that through hard work that I developed with the help of God to free his people. We want his pay system, CHAPS, that pay system. We don't want no taxpayers' money to create our jobs. We don't want no more grant to create our jobs. And we definitely don't want the employer taking benefits out of his profits, whatever he's selling or whatever he's making, to pay for our jobs. We want to do it ourselves because a black man, a Negro, will never be free, not unless he controlled his own money.
So what you're saying, if a black man does not control his own money, he would never be free.
Never be free. We're just wasting our time.
And you know what? And what you're saying is so true because one of the things that we do, we got a nasty habit of spending our money everywhere but in our own community. And I think just by reading some of your book, it's amazing on some of the things that you're saying. I think it's incredible. And tell us a little bit more. Tell me how it works. Tell me how this system is going to work and how it's going to help the community.
Okay. First of all, every pay system, you are guaranteed 2,080 clockable hours. Okay,
that's a year.
And so, yeah, every year, and that's a year's salary, 2,080. All right. So, the United States government, you have to accrue 4 hours every day for your benefits, and then the next 4 hours for the first day, you accrue for your pay. Because you cannot work an 8-hour day and get paid for 8 hours. A government, a pay system don't work like that. Even though they will tell you that you work 8 hours a day for 8 hours pay, which is a lie. And then they'll tell you you get paid every 2 weeks, which is another lie. So they've been hoodwinking and controlling our people all this long. When I say our people, it's mostly at the postal system. It's black people work out there. They don't care how they treat us. Because, you know, like with all this postal stress they got going on, it's never been investigated. You know, the post office, they got a system that you can't really investigate them and you can't really argue with them. But, you know, you got the postmaster general. He's always going to Congress talking about he needs some more money. And I don't know what he's doing with the money, but that's not true. You know, he's just taking our money. And then, you know, you got children of darkness, which God created, and you got children of the light. And the children of the light is going along with the children of the darkness because they don't know no better, you know. And so, but Chap is here to change all that. God,
you know what? That's amazing. When you talk about Chaps, you talk about the pay period. You say that there was how many hours? You talking about yearly those hours, right?
Yes. You only allowed to work 2,080 hours yearly, and so
okay.
I've really broken down. You guarantee 5 days a week. That's full time now. I'm talking about full time employees. You
okay.
guarantee 5 days a week. But you got to cover a 24/7 work week. It's not like the average work week. See, everybody think the average work week is only 5 days, but the average work week is 7 days because you know even God he had to work 7 days. You know, and he said on the seventh day he rests. But
so on the seventh day, right? He rests.
Right. But think about it. You think a God needs some rest? That's what God he is putting out there. Okay, but we're going to get off that, you know. God don't need no rest, you know, because his eyes, he never closed. He's watching us all the time. But he just wants his people, and it, I mean by his people, I'm talking about a man, we have to control this earth.
Mm.
A man. He gave us dominion of this earth, of all the animals, everything. But we got away from that. When we start denying it, you know, we want to kick him out of our schools. We got to bring him back in the school, you know, so he can watch us, take care of our kids. And right now, he's so, in my opinion, this is my opinion. Now, God didn't tell me this, but he talks to me regularly, Ed, you know, and I got favor with him, you know. And so he's telling me that we don't want, you know, what the rich people are being taxed, and they have to pay more taxes for us. But I mean, by us, a black man or a Negro people, and they don't like that. Okay, so they don't have to do that. You know, you're gonna get the same thing you got when you brung us over here on those slave ships, free labor. You're gonna get free labor, but you're gonna pay for it in a way that the time would never work run out. And we're gonna base everything on clockable hours. Clock of hours and never run out. The only time clock is infinity, and then you know, like that little girl in that commercial, he said, "Ooh, 2 times infinity, or 3 times infinity." I don't know. Nobody's gonna live long in infinity. I don't know. But you know what? The money's gonna be there.
Mm.
It's gonna be there every year. So you have to read the book and understand what I'm talking about. You know,
absolutely. I read some of them. And listen, I want to talk about how could you really when you talk about the box, talk to me a little bit about the 4 full-time employees I needed per tour, and all 3 tour shifts must be covered by 4 employees in a system called 4 in the box. Talk to me about 4 in the box.
Okay, 4 in the box is a pay system that God revealed to me in order to use how to use the 6th or 7th day. Most companies, most businesses, this is the smartest CEOs in the land. They don't know how to operate and use the 6th or 7th day of the week. That's you're supposed to be off. And then the reason you're supposed to be off is no money there. So the 4-in-the-box pay system is only they have to move it. They shift it. So in the average pay system, on the 6th or 7th day, they always designate the Saturday and Sunday, and then they call that the end of the week. But it's really not the end of the week. The Saturday and Sunday is the beginning of the week. But, you know, you have to read the book to fully understand that, and I don't know if I have enough time to try to tell you
What I want to do is just get as much information as I can so people can maybe go out and buy it and read it for themselves so they can understand that. You know, I think it's incredible, and I believe it'll work if everybody is supposed to be doing it.
You know what you said? You believe it's no doubt it'll work. You know, I was born to reveal chapter. That's my purpose in life. God chose me. You know, it's just like God chose Moses to free his people. God chose me to give his people jobs. And
Absolutely. You still there?
We are dealing with now. You know, I'm not fighting against America. I live in America. I love America, you know. Like Dr. Martin Luther King said, we as a people, we shall get to the promised land. And most of our people don't know where the promised land is. The promised land is your neighborhood. You know, it's the same neighborhood you're living in right now. So who in the world want to live in a neighborhood right now over there in Inglewood? You don't want to live over there because, you know, people getting killed and stuff like that. You know, we need police protection. And you cannot get enough police protection on somebody giving you money in a tax-ran pay system. You cannot get enough police protection on a company. And they just say they had three instances, one company. He got a whole lot of money, you know. If he come in, he said, okay, I'm going to get me a police force, and I'm going to put him over there, and we're going to stop all this shucking and jiving, you know. Even with the line of people, police officers, elbow to elbow, and we'll stop that. But you know what? His money would run out, you know. So it's not enough money. But chap, clock of hours will never run out.
Let me ask you this. You talk about the overtime employee pay someone a flexi to take his place as a replacement. Is he or she taking off work? Talk to me about that flexi you were talking about.
Okay, when I started with the United States Postal Service, it was back in the day, 1995. I went out there and I wanted a job. I was a truck driver, okay? Loved my job, you know. I feel my chest was out, you know. I said, oh man, I finally made it to the post office. I got in there and I thought, you know, as I said in my book, I thought it was a well, smooth organization, but it's not. So you got to think why some people will say this is a perfect pay system. A perfect place to work, and then they come up with going postal. Some postal employees killing each other or killing somebody in it, you know, in the past. So they got that, you know, they're going postal. They mean there's so much stress because the post office is lying to people, you know. We are so naive. What I mean by naive being black people. We would think a government that we want to support, want to take care of, would turn their back on us and lie to us. But that's what we're dealing with, a government that's in there. I'm not talking about America, because America is the country I love. It's the country that I even went to Vietnam for, to fight for, even though I didn't want to go, but I went, you know, because my father told me to go. And my father fought in World War II for this country. But my father, when he fought in World War II, everything was segregated, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he didn't get a fair chance, but he still went and fought, you know. And he did a good job. He was over there with Patton, you know, the red ball of spread. I got to give my father some props. You know, he's dead and gone now.
I knew your father. Yeah, he was a good man.
Exactly. You know, and I love my father. But, you know, I had to do this. So now... We want a job, but we don't want just a job. We want a job to make enough money so we can do something with it. You know, you give me a job, okay, you give me $2 an hour. I can't do nothing with $2 an hour, right? You know, we got to get at least $15 an hour.
At least, that's the minimum.
At least. That's the lowest. You know, we don't want to go under $15 an hour. And I don't care what you're doing. If you sleep on the floor, as long as the job, you get $15 an hour. Okay? And there's another thing, what's the good thing about it, people don't understand. You got bonus money working in there. Because you're working a pay period. Now, a pay period, people think a pay period is 2 weeks. Not true. You got to work 320 hours to earn 2 1-week paychecks. You got to work it. And so 100 60 hours is going is paid for your benefits, and then 80 hours is going in your pocket for your pay, and then 80 hours is going for your next year's salary. That's what I said. And all this money is guaranteed. It's clockable hours. Clockable hours are guaranteed. So you will never run out of money. So I don't know what the folks. I don't know what the folks are saying. They talking about. And they ran out, and they didn't need so many billions of dollars. So what?
Yeah. Well,
they,
you know, Larry, let me say this to you. You know, I think that you're right on point, and you know, and I think your book is tremendous, and I think this could be a way where people can understand a whole new system and the understanding about working, and just like you said. You know, in reference to the 2 weeks, you get paid every 2 weeks. It takes more than that, and you know what? I thought about what you were saying, and I looked at it, and actually, you are correct what you were saying, because if people look over their jobs, especially when they're being paid every 2 weeks, you know, you always have to work that extra week, and then in some cases, it's even longer than that. So, you know, I think you're right on point where you're going. And also you talked about leave and vacation time, holiday pay. Elaborate on that just a little bit for me and so we can get even more of an understanding of this tremendous book that you have written.
Okay, I'm going to use leave first. Okay. Leave... like I told you, you got to work 4 hours. The first 4 hours you accrue. That's 4 hours of work and value. Value means that whatever you do for the post office, because we all got different jobs. You know, I mentioned this to a person, you know, in government, and then and they read it, and they said, oh, you trying to make everybody make the same salary. No, I'm not trying to make everybody make the same salary. You know, whatever your craft calls for, they set the salary. You know, if you're in maintenance, if you're a mechanic, are you a truck driver, are you a supervisor, the system is paid, and the money is set. So I say hours and value, and that's why I say hours and value. I don't know how you make it as a mail handler. My wife was a mail handler for 36 years, okay? And then that's how I was. And so in order to get your annual leave, the first 4 hours, the post office will take out 60 minutes and value and save it. And then once you get 3 years, okay, once you work 3 fiscal years, because the post office fiscal year ends in September. Once you work 3 fiscal years, now you got enough money. You got 400. You got 440 hours. I mean, 480 hours. 3 times 160 is 480. Okay, now if you're not hired, if you still a flexi, they will give you that 40 hours extra per hour. That's for your holidays. But if you're a regular, that extra 40 hours is going to pay for 5 of your 10 paid holidays. And then they'll take out 20 minutes in value to pay for your next 5 paid holidays. And so that's a total of 10 paid holidays that you accrue for the post office per year. But if you are not full-time, they will pay you your holiday pay mixed in with your regular hourly pay. So in other words, you'd be working more per hour than a regular would. Okay, do that make sense to you?
All right, go ahead. I think you're right on point.
Okay, now, I'm giving you some stuff.
You're giving it to me, and I appreciate that, because my listeners, you know, are really excited. You know, last week alone, we got an additional 25,000 listeners to join in, which was such an incredible for 1 week. That was amazing. So, you know, they all listening to you, Larry. So, Larry, I want you to give it to them like you never had it before. So you got this opportunity.
Okay, and so for now, After 3 years, I had 160, so it's 480. So they take the 40 hours to pay for the following year holidays, 5 holidays. And then they take out 20 minutes in value. They take out for the next 5 holidays. Now, what the post office do, a letter carrier don't have no option. They all take paid holidays. It's automatic. Boop, you know, you're not working, okay? But in the plant, they have what you call six paid holidays, major holidays. That's what they put it, I'm sorry. Six major holidays and 4 non-major holidays. And guess what? Two of them is my favorite holiday. They should make them major holidays. One of them is Veterans Day, where they should honor me and I live it better. They should set it down and should make that a major holiday. And then Martin Luther King's birthday. Let's just set it down. Now that man gave his life for us. So now you can finally get your free hours and free labor, but, you know, the right way. The right way. The right way.
All
see,
right.
A government payday, a government, you cannot work for the government and earn 8 hours a day, 8 hours a pay. You cannot do that. Even I went down to the, I was asking some people, and I went out to the labor board, you know, because I have a problem, you know, because I'm trying to figure this thing out now. And so I went out to the labor board, and the labor board said, hey, well, what's your beat, you know? I said, well, hey, I'm not getting paid properly, you know. As you get paid 8 hours, they pay out faster than that. And they said, oh, yes, you are, you know. They wouldn't even push it. They wouldn't push it. So, and then I thought about it. So what did God say? God said, go to Pharaoh to tell my people, set them free. And what was Pharaoh? The government, man. It's the same government. It's the same government that they talk about closing people down, shutting up everything, shutting up free money now. Let alone the money you. It's the same government. It's not America now. I'm not talking against America. The first thing they're going to say, hey, put it back in the vote and say, man, I
don't have
no vote. I was
born
in
Northern
Georgia, Jack. You know?
Here's what I want. I think you did a tremendous job explaining your book. I think your book is tremendous, and I think that people should go out and buy it. But here's what I want to do. I want to bring you back on at least a couple of times a month so you can explain it so people, some of them may have read it and they can get an idea exactly where you're going with this. I think it's such a great idea, but I we got to make sure that America is ready for it because it appears to me what you're saying, you're about to open a can of worms that most people don't want to in government want to hear about.
You're exactly right, you know. But I'll put it to you like this, man. I want to come on every Sunday. You know, I'll be here for you. Let's say if something happens to me, like I had to go out of town or anything like that. But if I'm not going out of town, I got to get this out. Because you know why I got to get this out? I have to please a God, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a God. And I know it's a God. I have to please a God. And he laid this on me. And so I can't get no rest until I give it to the president, President Obama. And it's going to go back to him to make the decision. But I got to make sure.
Yeah,
President
okay,
Obama,
well, listen,
hears it.
Oh, yo, listen to this. Tell us where they can find the book.
Okay. You can go on my website. It's called chappaysystem.com. It's C-H-A. PPSPAYSYSTEM.com. You go on there and get the book, and then you know what? It's not a very expensive book because God, you know, the book, the pay system is priceless, and I know it's priceless, and God knows it's priceless. But you know what? You're gonna get it for cheap. You can get the e-book for $4, and then my book. You know, the only reason you want to buy my book. The hard cover, because you can see my pretty face on it.
And that's $22. Well, we ain't going to go there, Larry, because I have seen your face, so we ain't going to go there. And look, and always remember this. You know, when you're a 250 hitter and have to go around down the right field line, that makes a difference.
Man, you know what? I told you I got a lifetime fan after 280. You know, you've never seen a pitch in the world with a lifetime fan after 280, man.
You're absolutely correct. And yeah, I've never seen a pitcher like you ever hit a ball, hit so many foul balls.
Absolutely.
Listen, repeat that again for us about how they can get your book. And then I'm then every week that you want to come on, you're welcome to come on anytime you wish. And I'm going to encourage people to buy this book and check out this system. It's incredible. I tell you, what he's saying is, I mean, really opened my eyes up, and I tell you, to a system that needs to be done. But give us that website again and any other information you want to give, and then I got to move on. Go ahead.
Okay, it's called CHAPS. CHAPPAYSTYSTEMS.com. ChapPaySystem.com.
All right. Very, very good, Larry. It's always good to talk to you. I want you to know I love you, and I really, really, really miss you. And let's stay in touch with you. I want you to stay on and listen to the show a little bit, too.
Okay, for sure.
All right, cause I'm gonna. I got to bring on my good friend Dr. Short after that. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, and I have an interview in 20 minutes, so I better. If you can take me now, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Go right ahead.
Well, Reverend Pinckney, first and foremost, I want to let everyone know that our congressional briefing on Depo Provera was a smash success.
Oh, absolutely. I would imagine it would be.
Congressman William Lacey Clay. We have a good brother. Believe it or not, Nan has a very good leader in D.C. I won't say what Nan is because you know how certain things are. But Reverend Abrego was there, who's head of Nan in D.C., whose wife is a victim of Depo Provera, and his daughter and his granddaughters. So he's with us all the way. Dr. Charlotte Abaka, who was the former chair of the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, was there. Reverend Brooke Parker Bello, executive director of More to Life. Mrs. Pamela Abrego, the victim of Depo Provera, was there. We had Lisa Davis from the Black is Back Coalition. Kwame Foso from the Rebecca Project. Dr. Steve Minkin, someone that I want you to have on your show, who has evidence to suggest that HIV/AIDS is really Kaposi sarcoma and that it wasn't Africans that made it or monkeys or a lab. This is something that comes from European people. That's his theory. Elise Lauder, a South African woman who's a victim of Depo Provera, spoke. Mr. Jesse Morrow, Social Reform Director, Church of Scientology National Office, spoke. Professor Charles Ogletree, Harvard Law University, was there. Reverend Marvin Owens, my pastor, Michigan Park Christian Church. The great Elaine Riddick spoke. Julie Wakiri, a women's health advocate and a partnership for African development. We also had Sister Afyang, or should I say Dr. Afyang, Imani Walker, co-founder and executive director for the Rebecca Project for Human Rights. And that's, we had a full room. It's been on the air for Radio 1 and Pacifica Radio nationally. And you know what? Our talk was so important that the Congressional Black Caucus put us all the way far away from everything in the National Visitor Center for the Capitol so nobody would see us.
Mm.
And when we got a crowd, guess what the devils did? They shut our meeting down an hour early.
Really?
They waited for Congressman Clay to step out, and then they made their moves. My cousin, the minister Bryant Choi Moore, the plaintiff in the case against James Cameron for Avatar I've told you about, when he got to the Capitol Visitor Center, armed guards were telling people everything was closed.
Mm.
Oh, and I left out a man by the name of Dr. Joel Brenn. Who's
okay.
With the City University of New York, because someone, we need to have them on to talk about HIV and breast cancer and Depo Provera, oh, we got some new, we got a lineup, brother. But mm-hmm. we had a wonderful time. The information is getting out, and the people are angry. And even I spoke, I got to put up mine, and that was wonderful to be on a panel of so many people who are going to stop this thing. So I want to put that out, and Reverend Pinckney, I just finished writing an article for a journal, and, you know, I forgot to do an interview at 2 o'clock p.m. So can I do it here and let everyone know that I'll be speaking for the United African Movement, which meets at 1061 Atlantic Avenue in Brooklyn this Wednesday, the 25th, starting at 7 p.m. I will be there talking about the chemical war against the African or black woman. I repeat, the chemical war against the black woman. They are talking about Syria needing to hand over their stuff, and our water is poison, our air is poison, our food is poison, and they're injecting our women full of things. In fact, if you talk to Dr. Joel Brenn, they have it set up such that they can put a chemical or a protein in a vaccine, and you could go in and get a measles shot, and you could be permanently sterilized for life as a woman.
Mm.
Oh, man. Games
wow, that's amazing, Dr. Short, when you think about it. Wow, you know what?
Yeah.
I kind of suspected that it would go extremely well, and I would love to see the caucus reply to this. I know how they operate, so I will be kind of curious on how they're going to deal with this. I think what y'all should be doing now is planning y'all next step, y'all next move.
We're going to have hearings in October.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to stop. We don't care about black necks.
Yeah.
Black necks, a black neck has no political philosophy or opinion that a free man or woman should respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's my own little Scott edition. You know, what do we care about those who don't care?
That's right, who don't care about us.
We will be doing more. We will be at Morgan State. We're going to be at Howard. We want folks to write in, but people are looking at the reports. The Congressional Research Service is looking at the report. Folk are panicking. And the beautiful thing is a woman who was there, her name is Charlotte Abarca. She's from Ghana. She's going back to Ghana to take on her government to make certain that they pull this stuff out of circulation. This will happen. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. Thank Benko. Thank people like Sister Mary Neal. Thank Larry Pinckney and all the others for pushing this program, this Forum of the People, forward, where we can fight for justice, where we can fight. You know, I hope people think, as you got more people listening, I hope a few of them put 50 cents or... And they don't have welfare anymore. They take the food stamps away. Thanks to Obama doing nothing about that. Send something in, people, because we can really make change if we have the resources, the personnel. If we had two or three people in certain cities to work regularly, you'd be amazed at what we could turn around. There's a young man here. He has a group of about 150 young men. We're concerned about racial profiling in Washington, D.C., by the way, you remember this thing at the Navy Yard. I don't know if we had that big talk yet, but that young man, I have warned people all over Facebook that this guy had probably been targeted, and he was black but foreign-born. I thought maybe Haitian, but it turns out he's Trinidadian. And this is the new game now, is to get – you can't dupe an African-American. You get one of these other folks who's recently come over. They don't know all the games and tricks, although they scream that they're African-Americans when they want something, there's something else once they get it. When they face the same pressures and things, they crack up. That's why the government and everybody's being silent. They know they targeted him. They know they did stuff to mess this young man up. They ruined his life, did all these things to him. And then he didn't come from a culture where his mother and father could talk to him about the games that he would face in the military. So he cracks up. And he was on some psychotropic drug. I got the name of it. Do you know he was on something, Reverend Pinckney?
Oh, absolutely.
This is what
no question.
About. He was on something, and all of these killings all over the country, Son of Sam, Jeffrey Dahmer. We're talking about folks eating people. Gacy. John Muhammad, every time you see somebody go out and shoot people up or go off, they're often on these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
They need to stop giving them the drugs. If you want to find out about the chemical war, not just against our people but everyone, the Citizens Commission for Human Rights has a website, cchr.org. Go on the videos, look up, and find out that the DSM is a fraud.
Mm. Hey, let me say this. Remember this, too. Everything is about control. See, here's what I think. I had a discussion on yesterday with a lady who really knows, but her mind could not compute that the governor will go out and do these things. It just so happened that she was Caucasian. But the point was that her mind couldn't compute that the governor will go out and do stuff like this with drugs, microwaves, whatever it is. It's all about control of the mind. And people are not listening. People don't want to hear that. But I'm telling you this, it's happening, and it's happening right in front of us. And you hit the nail right on the head. They knew who this guy was when he was on the base. They knew exactly who he was. They knew what he would do because they had programmed him to be exactly who he is and who he was.
And wouldn't help them. They wouldn't help him. He went to everybody. The police were in on it. The police wouldn't help him. He said, "Something's wrong with me. Something's wrong with me. Somebody help me." And nobody would help him.
No, absolutely
and
not.
Then they owe their money. Now, you know when things are tough, you go have someone going crazy and you don't give them, and then you got their money too.
Mm.
And you know they had somebody rude, you know. Thank you for holding. No operators are available at this time, something like that. Or please come back another day if you're homeless. And that guy flipped. They taught him how to kill him. What did he do? He killed somebody.
Yeah,
they need to
kill somebody. Kill a lot of somebodies.
Yeah, why are we teaching folks to kill? We need to teach people how to love. We need to teach people how to be fathers and mothers. We need to teach people how to love one another. We don't need to teach folks to fight. Who wants to fight the United States?
Yeah.
Who wants cluster bombs dropped on them? Who wants to be the next Afghanistan or Syria or Iraq or Somalia? Who wants that? Nobody. So why are we teaching these boys? And how many of these? We've got hundreds of thousands of U.S. military personnel on some kind of drug. Now, and what if they got a gun collection like John Wayne and they have a bad day? Or they eat one of those Taco Bell things and get some gastrointestinal thing, decide they're going to hurt somebody because they can't get a refund. Jesus have mercy.
Mm. It's amazing and how people are not conscious of this. We got so many unconscious people walking around here, don't believe that this government is who it really is. I'm ashamed of this government. I'm ashamed of it.
What gets me is they won't believe that, but they believe in UFOs. They believe in Mickey Mouse. They believe in Santa Claus.
Mm.
And yet, if Santa Claus was real, why you broke 1 week after Christmas? Because you bought it. That's dumbness, folks.
And remember, it's all about control, Randy. I don't care what nobody said. This government is out to control everybody. They even that march on Washington, it was a control thing, strictly a control thing. I was in Chicago. I tell you, when we had that summit there, when we took the park, when thousands and thousands and thousands of people showed up, they were trying to control the crowd. They don't care about you being there. Their job is to control you. That's what they do. They want to control people. They want to know that one day that the people are going to take the streets here in the United States, and it won't be a pretty thing, but they want to know how we're going to be able to control them. Are we going to be able to control them with the microwave? Are we going to be able to control them with drugs? What are we going to be able to control them with? And that's the whole thing. And when people start talking and listening to really what's going on, open their ears, they're going to find out that this government is exactly who we say it is.
Yeah, we are going to find out. You know, you mentioned the March on Washington, and I just want to tell you, most people don't know when they had that march on Wednesday the 28th, they didn't even want people to come to the march, so the people couldn't even get through. the security to come in, tens of thousands of people, because they didn't want them to show up. You know, Obama just wanted a photo op with some black people, say, see, I did something for y'all, now I'm going to cut your stamps off. See, I'm not that bad. I knew something bad was coming to us. I knew he was going to start a war, and I knew there were going to be some social cuts. But you know what? He posed with the King family. Now, what if Hitler could have posed with Godemeyer's family? Does that mean there was no Holocaust? I mean, you know, God help us. We've got to wake up, and we've got to be serious and hold people accountable. That's your preachers, too. Whoever it is, stop letting people get a free ride.
That's
especially
it.
Especially.
You sound, you know, you, those are my words. We have to stop these folks from getting a free ride, and we keep giving them a free ride. Every we give
that's
these
right.
folks a free ride, and they come back and stab us dead in the back. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
That's what they do. And I saw your buddy, the Reverend Sharpton, the other day. I know that you would have loved to have seen him. He was busy going off. He dogged Jesse Jackson and everything.
No, not Jesse.
Oh, yes, he talked about
it. Well, Al Sharpton is the new Jesse. They told Jesse to go somewhere and sit down. And
yeah,
Al Sharpton will be the new Jesse around here.
Well, he's the new Jesse with the process here and the process.
With the process. I know what you're saying. You know, and I tell you one thing, he don't have as much money as Jesse do.
Yeah, he'll get there. I mean, you know what, they'll pay you if you do your own people in. There's always jobs for black necks.
Yeah.
In fact, I found a little poster where the Ku Klux Klan had a sign, minority members wanted. And I think they got, well, they need memberships with the NAACP. Take the Ku Klux Klan's, man. We're not even getting to the NAACP. In fact, we didn't see much NAACP at the caucus, the little part I was in. I guess they were all hiding.
Interesting. Oh, I know the feel. I just know the feel. But I tell you one thing, Dr. Short. You know, this is you know, this world is amazing. You know, and we let me talk about black folks. Black folks give other people a free pass. Even black necks, as you call them, they all get a free pass. And that's why we're in such a compromising position today. Because actually, we're failing. We're failing each other. You
that's
know what
right.
I'm saying? We are failing each other. Until we take that giant step forward and move this thing to a whole different level, we're in trouble, man. We're in trouble, but hey,
yeah.
And I tell people tell me, how do you get so much done in one day? Because I'm conscious of what we need to be done. I do things because it's the right thing. I don't do things for money. I don't let nobody label me as a person. I might need money, but I don't do it for money. If I have to do something for money, Dr. Short, I won't do it. That's the way I feel. But we have to make sure that we take a stand and move this thing to a whole different level. And listen, my brother, you got 2 minutes. These are your 2 minutes. You can say whatever your heart desires, and then I got to bring on my good friend Ken.
I'm about to go on air, so I'm going to go even faster.
All right.
Brooklyn, New York, 1061 Atlantic Avenue, 7 p.m. Wednesday the 25th. I'm going to be there to talk about the chemical war on black women. I also want to encourage everyone to go to the Rebecca Project website, Rebecca, REBECCAPROJCET.org, and look at our two reports, one called Depo Provera, Deadly Reproductive Violence, and the other is called The Outsourcing of Tuskegee. Please look at them. We're at war for our survival. God bless
Absolutely.
You.
And we're going to be at war until we decide to stop fighting this war. Hey Dr. Shorty, do you have a pencil and a piece of paper right around you? Okay, I want you to make this call tomorrow to Lansing, Michigan, and talk to a guy named Terry Stanton.
3-1-2-3-1-2-3.
Say it again. Dr. Short.
What?
Did I lose
yes,
you?
Sir.
No.
Yeah,
I want you to make that call for me tomorrow.
I will do that.
Do you have the number already?
No, but can you email me?
I will email you or either call me up later on tonight.
I will do so.
All right, my brother. You go right ahead. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is amazing to sit down with these guys. But remember, when you sit down with the Black Caucus, you almost have to force them to do what needs to be done. But now it's T.I. time. it's time to talk about the target individuals in this country. Oh, I know you don't want to hear it out there. I know you don't believe it. I know that you don't believe that it's happening, but trust me, it is happening. Your government is targeting people and destroying their lives. I'm talking about millions and millions and millions of people. Until you take a stand, even take the streets and show them we're not going to take this crap anymore, it's going to continue. That's what they're preparing for right now. They're putting people together to see how many people they can control at one time. But I got to bring on my good friend, my guy, a guy who's out here fighting, doing incredible work. He's out here making sure that the word get out about target individuals and other things. Ken Rose, John Brown, are you there?
Thank you, Larry Payne. Yes, I am here.
Hey, how you doing today?
Not too bad. I just pulled over, so I heard you say you're going to call me on, so I pulled over. I'm in Pennsylvania, headed down there.
Oh, absolutely. But, you told me you was going down there to see the guy. Have you got to him yet or what?
No, I'm about three-quarters of the way there. But, you know, they had him on Fox News last night, Reverend Pinkney, and he's standing up for his rights and the First Amendment, Second Amendment. He's standing up for all the constitutional rights. And they said he used a target to practice on. And he called, I forget, he had a name for it. And they was trying to say that was somebody he worked with. Well, if I'd have been there with him, I'd have told him, how about when Homeland Security, and probably a lot of your listeners don't know this, how about Homeland Security ordered over $1 million worth of targets for the police to practice with, and it's called Do Not Hesitate. And it had the target was a picture of a pregnant woman. One target was a woman holding a baby in her hand. One of them was an old man with a John Deere cow phone, and one of them was an old lady. And they're going to talk about him shooting at a target when Homeland Security ordered $1 million worth of these targets for the police departments all over the United States to practice with. That's unbelievable. And if anybody wants to Google that enough, they can find it. It's out there.
Absolutely. And here's the thing, Ken, that you know that everybody should be talking about. Everybody should be talking about that guy. And Aaron Alexis, I believe that's his name.
Yes, that's what I'm fixing to go into.
Okay, yeah, because everybody should be talking about this. Every TI in this whole world should be mentioning that man's name. He told the people what was happening to him, and everybody turned their back on him. You see, they knew what was going on with this guy. I got a report on Friday about this guy that, I tell you, I can't even read it over the air. Because if I read it, I know that they don't want people to know this stuff. This stuff is so good that nobody believes it. But I'm going to take it with me when I get ready to meet with these congressmen, and then I'm going to sit down and tell them, because I think they already know. I think they're pulling my leg. I think they're trying to tell me that I may be nuts or something. I don't know what it is, kid, but let's talk about it a little bit. Let's talk about Aaron a little bit.
Okay, because I think most of them do know. Aaron Alexis, now he's a black man. He goes on the Navy base. Supposedly, he shoots 12 people. I got my doubts that I think he was only the patsy. You know, he's hearing voices. He goes to police. He goes to FBI. That sounds like a story I've heard many and many a time from TIs. He does then on his gun he had ELF weapon. That was his gun. He knew what he was being hit with. He just hadn't heard of the community, so he went to violence. He went there probably to kill somebody. They knew he was going there. And it's sad to me that they had a SWAT team and when they got there to take him out, to stop doing that, they told him to stand down for 45 minutes. They wouldn't even let him go in. Then the people on the base, the soldiers on the base, did not even have ammo in their guns. So they had this all set up, you know. They're probably unhappy they only got 12 people dead. Whether he did or not, I really doubt if he did it.
And you know what, Ken, you can never believe nothing this government say anyway. If they say it, you know it's not the full truth. And they've been doing the same thing for years, the same stuff. And nobody, see, The it's see, some of the stuff is our fault. So we don't see that this man, that this government is capable of doing all these dirty, rotten things to people. We don't believe it. We don't. I mean, I tell you, we have discussion with somebody that, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. That don't. I'm telling you, this government is dangerous, and the rest of the world is catching up with it. So you TIs out there, I think we got our foot in the door. I think we got our foot in the door. Now we got to go for the knee, and then the thigh, now, then the body, because we're going to make them hear something that they never heard before. This changes the whole language now. You understand, well, Ken?
Yeah, but, you know, they're always saying it. It's the drugs. It's the drugs. And it is part of the drugs. They give people drugs so they can mind control them easier. They're hiding all this technology behind the drugs. And when people
finally realize, no doubt in my mind that that's what they're doing. You see, and that's what they do. They give them drugs, then they'll say that they was on drugs. You know,
exactly. That,
psychopaths.
That way they can, that way, yeah, and the real psychopaths is the one that's running our country.
Absolutely.
Running the whole world, really.
But, you know, it's hard to convince people that your government is capable of doing these things. It's hard.
Right,
they don't want to hear that. People don't believe nothing until something affects them directly. When that microwave hit them dead in their butt, then they'll start saying it's possible.
Well, it's coming to most of them. They just don't realize it yet. But you're
absolutely
talking about hard to, you're talking about hard to convince people. I met a young girl. I was flying on the airplane, and I started telling her about what they were doing. She said, oh, I don't want to know that. That's too scary. She said, I just want to go and live my life. I got an 18-month-old baby. I said, well, you know, that's good. You got a right to do that. I said, but keep drinking the fluoride in the water, eat the GMO foods, and vaccinate your son. I said, but whatever you do, don't read the insert on that vaccine, because that's real scary.
Mm.
And then I just hit her with the truth. If you want to keep vaccinating your kids and let them kill them so they can shorten their lives, keep doing it. But
you said the magic word, just keep doing it, and that's what I do. I use the term stick and move. Once I tell you what you do with that information is on you, I just keep moving. I don't let these folks stop me, because believe me, they will stop you if they can. So we must continue this fight and continue doing what we're doing, and don't allow them to stop us, because that's the goal. I tell you, Ken, it's been tremendous. We had our big meeting on yesterday, and I tell you, we got a chance to talk about this stuff, some of the stuff that we're talking about today, and give people an education on exactly what's going on. And you know, in my thing, you can believe it or not. That's up to you. I don't even care if people believe it. I don't. All my job is to tell you, and you know, what you do with that information, that's on you. Because I feel this way. I told you, you did nothing, now it's on you.
And by you doing nothing, it's going to be on you for long, too.
And they're good at that. That's just what they do. So, you know, we got to continue to do what we do, move on, and just stay focused, don't get sidetracked, and continue to do our thing, because I think that's crucial. But you know, like that. Well, listen, Ken, you got a couple more minutes to say whatever you want, and then I'm going to bring on Sahara, then I'm going to bring on my good friend Dorothy. So go ahead.
Okay, Reverend Pinky, the only thing I want to say now is if you got any extra money, which I know most of us don't at this time, we barely got enough to eat, but Reverend Pinky needs money for different things. He's always on the road. So if you got some extra money, please send it to Reverend Pinky to Banco, 1940 Union Avenue, Benton Harbor, Michigan, 49022. I'm sure he'll appreciate it.
I really appreciate that, too. You know, that's tremendous, because we now, our goal is to have 1 million listeners by December. I hope by Christmas time. We had a tremendous crowd last week of 25,000 additional listeners that listened to Zing. That don't mean they would listen to the show at that time, but within that week they was listening. So that is really, really tremendous. I tell you, but we got to stay focused, do the things that need to be done, and let's continue this fight, Ken, because we're in it until the end. That's how I look at it.
Well, I'm in it till death, so.
That's right. Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it, Ken. Hey, love you, man, and I want you to continue your fight. You tell the guy down there that we said hey, and we're going to get him on the show one day.
Okay. Thanks, Reverend Pinkney.
All right. So I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Hi, Reverend Pinkney.
Sahara, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Reverend Pinkney.
How are you doing today?
I'm actually doing really badly today. There's been an increase in targeting on my end. I'm not going to go into details of that right now because I know we're on the radio and stuff, but I did want to mention one major part of that has upset me the most is that my dog died, and I'm suspicious about the circumstances under which she died, and it was on September 12th this month.
Wow. That's amazing, Grace, when you think about it. Remember this, you know, unfortunately, it's your dog, you know. It could have been you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we have to continue this fight. And they do things, remember, they do things to intimidate you. That's what they do. They do things to intimidate you. If they can intimidate you and get away with it, that's what they're going to do. So we have to stand, you know, I appreciate you. You come on and you give us what you have. And you actually educate the people. Probably some after you get through talking tonight, probably I'll probably get 10, 15 calls about somebody wanting to know more about, especially with new listeners on the line. Last week they flooded me with calls. Sunday night they wore me out. And but hey, what I want you to do, I want you to give me what you got. Go right ahead.
I will. Reverend Pinkney, could I say one thing real quick more about, to not confuse people, because they've seen some pictures in some of my videos of the younger dogs. I still have two dogs, Yoda and Lindell, and Yoda had recently taken a suspicious turn for the worse, and I had just days before Licorice died posted a prayer request on Facebook for Yoda. He's doing better now, but then there was an event that perpetrators were here at the house, and the next thing I found that Licorice had died. My stepdad said it looked like she had died from a stroke or a stroke-like event, and she never had problems like that before.
Wow. And you know one thing? And they can make you seem like you had a stroke. They can make it seem like you had a heart attack. They can even stop your heart. You know, they can do so much with this microwave stuff. And I tell you this, you know, all we can do is stay focused, keep moving, and thank God for another day above the ground.
Yes, I do thank God for what we have.
Amen. All right, well, let's get down to it and give me what you got. And the next person after you will be Dorothy, so you go right ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. Hello, my name is Sahar Shamir. I am the founding spokesperson of Snowy Oak, Stop Nonconsensual Experiments on All World Citizens, a community on Facebook and MySpace. Snowy Oak is spelled S-N-O-E-O-A-W-C. Today is Sunday, September 22nd, 2013. There is a rapidly growing community of people who are aware of being targeted by mass-scale nonconsensual human experimentation, often referred to as TIs for targeted individuals. Since discovering that people are being targeted on a mass scale around the world, extra-targeted individuals is a term that I created to indicate those who have been targeted to the point of inescapable awareness. I'd like to share some quotes that appear in my 10-minute and 56-second video, Freedom of Mind 3, Overcoming Fear, uploaded on June 21st, 2010, to my Shinier.com channel on YouTube. But first, let me note that Shinier.com is spelled C-H-I-N as in Nancy, Y-E-R-E, D-O-T, C-O-M as in Mary. From 4 minutes and 3 seconds into the video, the first quote is, "False flag operations are covert operations designed to deceive the public, that the operations appear as though they are being carried out by other entities." This was quoted from the Wikipedia page for false flag operations that now redirects to their page for false flag, which currently reads, "False flag or black flag describes covert military or paramilitary operations designed to deceive in such a way that the operations appear as though they are being carried out by other entities, groups, or nations than those who actually planned and executed them. Operations carried during peacetime by civilian organizations as well as covert government agencies may by extension be called false flag operations if they seek to hide the real organization behind an operation. The name false flag has its origins in naval warfare, where the use of a flag other than the belligerent's true battle flag as a ruse de guerre, that is, a ruse, trick, or deception of war, before engaging an enemy has long been acceptable. That's the end of that quote. In the pseudo-operations section of the false flag page reads, pseudo-operations are those in which forces of one power disguise themselves as enemy forces. For example, a state power may disguise teams of operatives as insurgents and, with the aid of defectors, infiltrate insurgent areas. The aim of such pseudo-operations may be to gather short or long-term intelligence or to engage in active operations, in particular assassinations of important enemies. However, they usually involve both, as the risks of exposure rapidly increase with time and intelligence gathering, eventually leads to violent confrontation. Pseudo-operations may be directed by military or police forces or both. That's the end of that quote. Whether anything like this was taking place in the case of Aaron Alexis, whom the press has been referring to as the, quote, Washington Navy Yard shooter, has yet to be determined. A September 18, 2013, WashingtonTimes.com Communities article written by Alan Jones and recommended by Derek Robinson, president of Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance, is titled, 42 Days After Microwave Mind Control Complaint, Alexis Kills 12. It is currently available online at communities.washingtontimes.com. A quote of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. that is included in my Freedom of Mind 3 Overcoming Fear video is, a nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death. My research suggests that some covert funding for modern activities has gone through the U.S. Senate Appropriations Committee. During the Thursday, September 19, 2013, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance Community Conference call, Darlene Miles indicated also that her research points to Senate appropriations. Representative Jan Schakowsky, chair of the House Intelligence Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation, has publicly referenced a lack of transparency, even to her, of covertly funded projects. On her official site, schakowsky.house.gov, and her name Schakowsky is spelled S-C-H-A-K-O-W-S-K-Y, is an October 27, 2009 report titled, Schakowsky Outlines Roadmap for Intelligence Reporting Investigation. The report references, quote, closed fact-finding hearings to drill down into the circumstances and details of prior notification failures and interviews with individuals of interest, end quote. Also according to the report, the investigation is looking into specific instances where Congress was not notified according to the requirements of the National Security Act of 1947. Further quoted, it says, under the leadership of Representative Schakowsky, the Intelligence Committee is examining the details of the destruction of CIA interrogation tapes, interrogation of detainees, and other secret programs. In video uploaded to the YouTube channel RT Question More on August 6, 2013, UN Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment, Professor Juan Mendez, said during his interview by RT that he had been denied permission by the Pentagon to view all parts of Guantanamo Bay and further denied permission to meet individually with detainees. Professor Mendez noted that such behavior is not consistent with the terms approved by the UN Human Rights Council, terms specifically with regard to detention center visits by the United Nations Special Rapporteur. According to the meta tag of their official website, RT.com, RT is the first Russian 24/7 English language news channel, which brings the Russian view on global news. According to Wikipedia's biography of Professor Juan E. Mendez, early in his career, he became involved in representing political prisoners. As a result, he was arrested by the Argentinian military dictatorship and subjected to torture and administrative detention for 18 months. During this period, Amnesty International adopted him as a prisoner of conscience. It is also noted in his biography that Professor Mendez launched the Americas program of Human Rights Watch. Professor Mendez is a visiting professor of law at the American University, Washington College of Law. According to the university's faculty website, Professor Mendez's areas of specialization are international human rights, international law, and international criminal law. Among other courses, he is teaching one in the prevention of genocide. Over several weeks, I have been viewing presentations by Professor Mendez that are available online, and he seems particularly conscientious and able to get his concerns across in hope that something might be done about them. Therefore, since obtaining the news this week that he is expected to continue volunteering in his capacity as the United Nations Special Rapporteur on torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment for another 3 years, my optimism has been renewed that the global community of both unknowing targeted individuals and extra-targeted individuals may be helped. Last month, on Sunday, August 25th, my presentation here was focused on information that may be helpful to anyone who decides to prepare documentation to send to the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture and Other Cruel, Inhuman, or Degrading Treatment or Punishment. That presentation, which starts at 77 minutes and 37 seconds, is available at Reverend Pinckney's blogtalkradio.com archive at blogtalkradio.com/rev-pinckney, P-I-N-K-N-E-Y. For information on how to potentially contribute to the video presentation that I personally have begun preparing to the attention of the Special Rapporteur, please see the September 21st, 2013 Snowy Oak Note in the Notes section at facebook.com/SNOEOAWC. Although I am speaking here a week earlier this month, usually I speak here on the last Sunday of the month, I look forward to being here again on Sunday, October 27th. Thank you for your time.
Sahara, I'd like to thank you, too. That you know, that is tremendous. You always have good information, and you keep the TI community alert and exactly what's happening. So that's beautiful. I want to thank you once again. I had a young lady who wanted to contact you, and would it be okay if I gave her your email?
Yes. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney.
Okay. I'm going to give her your email to contact. Also, I want you to do me a favor. I need you to call this guy, Terry Stanton, tomorrow.
Okay.
You got a pencil?
Yes, I do now.
Okay. His name is Terry. I'll spell his last name, S-T-A-N-T-O-N.
Okay.
And the number is 517-355.
Is it okay to say it online? Is it okay to say it on the radio?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, go ahead.
517-355-2167.
Okay.
You want me to repeat
that?
Okay,
I got 355-2167, area code 517.
That is correct. And this
okay,
is what I want
you.
I want to ask you. You want to ask to speak to Terry Stanton, and you want
okay.
to tell them to stop outsourcing all the everything that's inside the city of Benton Harbor. And you want to here write this name down, Tony Saunders. You want him removed from the city of Benton Harbor as a dictator.
Tony Saunders. I wrote
yes.
it down.
Yes. So just make that call tomorrow for me, and I want everybody else that's listening, I need you to make that call, and we'll take it from there. And Sahara, I'd like to thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again or hearing from you again next month, and we're going to continue this fight and going to continue doing the things that need to be done. So listen, if you have any closing remarks, go right ahead. Then I got to bring on my good friend Dorothy.
No, I just want to thank you, Reverend Pinckney, for your support
right,
and for
then.
Having
you take
me here.
Care yourself,
thank you very
Sahara,
much.
And I will talk to you soon, and don't forget to make that call for me.
Okay.
And you can email me their reply.
Okay, I will. If I get any reply, I'll email it.
All right, then. You have a good day.
Okay, God bless you.
All right. Now is the time. It's the time to bring in the former, I believe it's Air Force Army, Lieutenant Captain, good person, good friend, a person who definitely a strong member of the community, also a strong member of the TI community, my good friend, my friend, Dorothy. Dorothy, are you there?
Yes, sir. I was Air Force, and I was a captain, honorably serving.
All right, well, bless your heart.
Thank you.
The guy that was on earlier, he was a major.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let me kind of dig into it, because historically I want to bring up the Hitler-Himmler-Eichmann study, which allowed for, and it was a study that looked at the Northern European severe abuse of children under the age of 3 or 5, that was debatable, but under the age of 5 nonetheless, which included severe sexual abuse, severe physical or psychological abuse. Now, they, the criminals, saw it as beneficial. And the idea was that if you severely traumatize children repeatedly and ongoingly with organized criminal trauma networks of people that would operate to brutalize this child throughout its life, that child would develop a photographic memory. They would be literal. So when you told them, look at something red, or that a stop sign only meant red, or red meant danger, that they didn't necessarily understand, you know, red could also have a lot of other meanings to it. But they would also, they had a great deal of strength, they had a great deal of energy, but the benefits they saw them as is that they would be a potential suicide bomber. They would also be broken down and be able to be used against their will. That's part of mind control, is to take a good human being and take them to the opposite end of the scale and use them through trauma, abuse, and systematic setting this person up with these organized criminal trauma networks, which also includes the technical networks, the technical technology areas, as well as even financially denying them the ability to work. So this was all part of Hitler's information that came to this country under Operation Paperclip. The Nazis were then put in our universities and helped to set up the pharmaceuticals. I will tell you, having been a military person who went to the VA, that I was given drugs that within 24 hours I called the VA each time and said, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to stay on these because they made me homicidal and suicidal. That according to the Fritz Springmeier, who talks about programming, neuro-linguistic programming, that the VA, Veterans Administration, is well known for that, which does not mean the stabilization of these highly traumatized people, because either war, sexual abuse, or sexual slavery, including putting people under mind control without their knowledge or permission, that when I was at the VA, they did not help me get stable. They, in fact, shattered me worse. And when I reported it to even the Washington, D.C. leadership, I was hung up on. I was refused any help whatsoever to become who I used to be. And, in fact, they did, in fact, use me to try to harm someone running for a very significant office. So to any veteran who may be listening, I'm asking you to stand down, to not go to the VA, to not take their drugs. See about finding a hometown doctor, someone you trust. If you have to be on something that is for your medical benefit, go to a hometown doctor that you knew. Get with your family or someone who knows they have special interest in you. And please know there are handlers. And these were even inside the military, counselors, officials. I went repeatedly to people up and down the chain reporting the criminal abuse against our veterans, and nobody wanted to stop it. I was law enforcement trained in college before I went into the military. I will tell you that I repeatedly watched the brutalization of our military members, sexual, psychological, and physical. It happened to me. I was denied the right to get healthy and whole with the intention of using me to do these kind of crimes. And not only do I refuse to participate in these criminal brutal, evil people. And please know, folks, these are not just any one group of people. They are people who have turned against their culture, their religions. They are in every economic system. When I went out, even with two master's degrees, to get jobs, I was denied work. I was actually told by VA doctors that if I report anything I went through, I would never be able to get a job. Now, that's called retaliation. And when I did get jobs on my own and I saved $10 million contract, I was fired anyway. This is what is going on. And when good people cannot report criminal behavior in this country, no matter where it stems from, whether or not that is the Catholic Church, who for 38 years plus, the Pope Benedict, got immunity at the hands of President Bush II. And please know, when you have a child who has been raped repeatedly, emotionally, physically, and psychologically brutalized, that what it does is it begins to break down their memory, their short-term memory, their ability to rationally think, to make good judgment. They're easily manipulated. They're easily traumatized again, but they're manipulated, easily manipulated, coerced, and forced into things that they would never have done ever in their lives. That is the quintessential of mind control. But there is a great deal of levels of information and ways that they can do it. With two of your previous speakers, somebody mentioned the postal shootings. Many of those were former military. And there is even patterns of those people that are being gone after. They are often liberal-minded. They are often good and decent people, because if criminals, these evil criminals, can get rid of good human beings, then there is nobody to oppose them. There is nobody to stand up against them. And so what they're doing is they're actually blackmailing, brutalizing other good people to do their dirty work, to then put good, decent people in prisons, write them up in psych wards. And please know, the DSM-4 or DSM-5 was, if you back it up and you go to the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, you back that up, these are pro-Nazi, pro-communist type of people that infiltrated the mental health system, and they are not there to help stabilize people. They are there to deny the fact that their criminal abuses happened. They are emotionally damaged. They are not mentally ill. So in so doing, they are involved in literally the redefining of what is happening. And the point we need to also remember is that when we are talking about our military, former military, who happened to be Secretary of State Kerry, John McCain, Al Gore, and numerous others that were former military, are we also saying that any time any one of those former military speak, that they are lying, that they're mentally ill? Because when any of our military are denied the right to speak about what we went through, whether or not that is tremendous trauma associated to seeing war and conflict, or rapes, or being put under mind control that includes neuro-linguistic programming, drugging, gang rapes, and sexual trauma for sexual slavery, when we are denied that right as human beings and as retaliation throughout our lives, we are denied the right to say what we have observed in our lives, and they call us liars, then we must then call them liars, because that is what is going on. And the sad thing is that when these good people, whether or not in the military or outside, are being systematically swarmed by these organized criminal trauma networks, again, denied safety, and that is a key point here. Their rational thinking breaks down, their ability to articulate, their ability to remember. They have short-term memory issues. That's why I found the only thing that seems to work is when you do have a place to stay that's safe, when you begin to write backwards, and this is actually a CIA process as well as first responders. They all sit down and they write out what they saw. They all sit down and they draw what they saw. This is the only critical way of getting back your memories. And if you do not have a flow of your own ideas, then your subconscious then becomes more open for these electronic systems to have you hear somebody else's voice, have you get forced memories and such. And please know, we're not idiots. None of us are. I have two dogs, and there have been times where I've been hit with this type of electromagnetic equipment, and not only do I jump, but my dogs jump. So they know this is out there. Congressman Dennis Kucinich attempted to bring a bill against the use of these weapons against good Americans, decent, civil Americans. And he was not only railroaded out of Congress, he was gerrymandered. In other words, they totally rewrote the way in which they voted in his district to keep him from speaking. This is what's going on. There's a war on decency. And it is not just about people talking about sex or sexual issues. There's a total different ballgame here, and we need to begin to have a real, genuine dialogue. When children do not know their body parts, they cannot report criminal violation in this country. There's a difference between teaching children good touch, bad touch, or teaching them to be sexually active. And the predators, the rapists, the pedophiles are way ahead of the ballgame, because they're using these good kids who've been brutalized to, in the future, after years of manipulation and breakdown, to be set up for crimes, to do things that is against any part of their nature. And as a commander, I witnessed it, because there were so many generals and senior leaders that were involved in this, we can't even begin to truly shed light on it. And that is the true story of what will not get out in the media, because they don't want to hear it. I spoke in 2003 in the media. Bill O'Reilly, Wolf Blitzer, they started being shut down from this even having any type of dialogue. When in America, we cannot talk about the truth of the violations and the overlapping in which these systems are denying good people their freedom, their right to work, the right to survive, we've got a major problem, because there is attack on your children. And this young man, and please know, I do in no means justify the harm and the inhumanity that befell good Americans that were killed or harmed at the Naval Yard or any other shootings. But now, given what I've seen, we have got a criminal element out there that is leading this young man to this edge in which he did not have control of what was going on. And until we address those facts with those of us who have witnessed it and seen it firsthand, we are not going to get better. And it is not by his choice, but by external forces that we're controlling. And please know, in 1944, Jose Delgado, who was a scientist at Yale University, was doing mind control experiments using remote control outside of his body, outside of people's body, in animals' brain, in which he could force a bull, a charging bull, to stop dead in its tracks. He was then using that on rabbits to get them to go left, right, center, and the rabbits or the animals could not stop. And Jose Delgado himself said he wanted those type of chips in the brains of every military person, regardless of rank. And if we do not stop and look at what's going on, we are going to undermine our own entire life in this nation.
Wow, that's tremendous. You said they wanted a chip in everybody.
In the military.
Was.
In the military, you betcha. And I will tell you, please go out and look at The Secret War. The Secret War. It is a series on YouTube, videos.
Mm-hmm.
It is a series including Colonel, United States, I believe, Air Force Colonel. Proudy, who was at the Pentagon during the Kennedy administration, and in which President John Kennedy wanted the Joint Chief of Staff to step into the place at the National Security Council that was the President, Vice President, Secretary of Defense, and CIA at the time. After the Bay of Pigs fiasco, he downgraded the CIA and brought the Joint Chief of Staff into that position, who was Admiral, one of the admirals, Nimitzer, into that position. They decided at that point, and this was shortly before Kennedy's assassination, that they would have a better handle on the covert activity that was being handled in the world. And sadly, according to Prouty, Colonel Prouty, he was saying that all of a sudden this stuff was becoming normalized, that there was no one in charge, and it was virtually deliberately done. And again, it's called the Secret War, and under it there's multiple, probably about 18 different YouTube videos called The Secret War, Part 1 and Part 2. And in it, Colonel Prouty, and this was back probably in the 80s and 90s, he actually mentions mind control.
Wow, that's, you know, that's tremendous. And, you know, I think now what they're into more, they are trying to control crowds of people. That, you know, that's one of the things I'm believing that they're attempting to do right now, because I think it's time that people take the streets. I think that people should start taking the streets and tell this government we're not going to take this mess no more. But they're preparing for this. I think they actually think that it's going to happen, because,
you know, honestly, with all due respect,
they do was designed for to control you.
I think, in all honesty, we need a pre-step before ever doing that. We need to have people begin to meet in their homes, educate people in your homes, because yes, they do have a great deal of weapons. In the 1980s, they were actually using weapons, electronic weapons, on women up in Greenham Commons, United Kingdom, to stop them from protesting against U.S. bases that had nuclear weapons. These were radar. They emitted not only cancer-causing, tumor-causing emanations, but also they made them sick, and they had no problems doing this to people. Now, they were not warmongers. They were not out there causing violence. They were simply having a sit-in saying, we don't want this here. The point being is we need to educate people in their houses. That's, or in your backyard. Have a party. Talk about this stuff. Discuss what is going on. But unplug. What they're wanting to do is they're wanting to cause race wars. They're wanting to cause financial wars, food wars, whatever. Prouty talks about this in his videos. And my thought is, why give them what they want? Let's unplug from it. Let's do some other dynamic type of systems.
Well, you know,
there's
one thing,
better ways that we can do it.
Well, I don't believe there's ever going to be a change without a total conflict. Because it's going to continue doing just like it is now. I think in order to, you have to make a major change. And whatever it takes, is going to be some casualties behind it. But the point is, we need, you know, we're going to have to do something sooner or later, unless we all going to be behind these barbed wire fences. It's just a matter of time. But listen, Dorothy, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want, and I want to move on.
Well, my thought is, I think we need to sit down and educate people in your homes. Let's be honest. If you need to get a hold of some of us, call Reverend Pinckney. I don't have a problem talking to folks who want to talk about this. I am not interested in going into a violent situation. In fact, let's begin recalling people in your local counties, state, and even your federal government. If they are not responsive, replace them with people who will not be tainted by power or money or anything else. It's time to get truth in power, not people who are willing to look away.
Oh, wow, that's tremendous. Well, listen, Dorothy, I really appreciate you, but I got to move on. Great information. Keep up the great work, and let's keep this fight going. All right. Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm so blessed to be here. And I was on Judge Eve's show yesterday, and I mentioned you. What a wonderful blessing you are in my life and so many other people's lives. So thank you. And Dorothy, you were fantastic. We need to recall. We need to step up, get together, meet together, just like what you said, and start to recall our elected officials. The corruption, the waste, the fraud, killing off people, doing all these absolutely terrible things that they're doing. We need to stop it now before it's too late.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. We got to stop it. The people are not in tune. Like I said before, the people are not conscious. Right now, we got too many people that's unconscious. They don't get it. And but we got to continue this fight. And listen, I know you had a wonderful time on on Judge Eve's show. She's a tremendous person, and I just love her so much. I love the work she's doing, and she actually taking a stand.
Right, and we all have to take a stand. I've been to your school of protest. I went last Sunday, and you told me to give them hell at Congressman Brad Sherman's town hall meeting. And by the grace of God, my ticket was picked for the second time. And I got up there and I mentioned Susan Rice, that it was a year since they killed off the men in Benghazi, the four of them. We have all these scandals in this country. There's no jobs. The economy is absolutely terrible because they want it to be. And I don't want to live like I'm in Russia, because I've been there with the long lines of food and everybody in line to have some juice at a machine and with one glass that they're all rinsing out to use. And he was just very evasive to me. And later a woman said I didn't know anything. And I said, well, you're going to be really happy when we get over to the concentration camps.
Mm.
I think she said I was stupid.
She said you were stupid?
Yes, and I was stupid. I have lived through everything. We had to introduce ourselves. So I said I was Rosie Press, and I was a hostage in Iran in 1978, not 1979, and I'm the one that opened my mouth, and the plane came in, and 40,000 Americans got out.
Mm.
And we all have to open our mouth. If we are going to die, I have a rule. If I'm going to die, I'm going to speak up. And
that's
every
right.
day... And every day the terrorists told me that they were going to kill me and all Americans. And they mean it. And now Obama has this new thing, so we don't have to look at the economy or Obamacare, which is like workers' comp. He wants to go to Syria and throw in a few missiles, which is, that's war. That's war. So we cannot focus on what's going on, so we can put our military men back in the chemicals. It's disgusting. But back on to my workers' comp. If I had been injured, which sometimes I think they did on purpose, being sprayed in my face with a fire extinguisher by my student, and another teacher was sprayed at another school and he died, then I would have never known how really corrupt the government is, the state of California. Now, this is millions of injured people all across America. This is a national unjust practices, illegal, immoral. They don't pay you. They lie. They constantly lie so you'll go away and die. They deny your medicine. They deny your money. They want you to think you're crazy, and they always come up with a psychiatric diagnosis. No matter what happens to you, they find that. Like with me, I'm a narcissistic personality, axis two, that the judge found himself, who is not a doctor, and who the doctor was paid, Dr. Stahlberg, was paid $16,770 to change the facts and write a medical report, which he admits that he didn't have the evidence for. From Judge Gerald Cohn. This is our legal system today. People who've gone through the courts, criminal or civil courts, knows how bad it is. We must get up. We must speak up. We must recall these people. We must save our country. We're saving our lives. It is that bad. I met this wonderful couple who are from Europe and have been through all these terrible things, and she said she's afraid now. So many people are afraid what's going on in this country. Dorothy is right. I was very upset when I heard about the Navy people being shot, because I'm Air Force too. It's a family. We're a military family. But when you get to hear all the facts, how he called and asked for help, it makes you think, was he targeted? It just sounds like he was a targeted individual out to do something.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%, Roz. I believe that he was targeted, and they used him. And oh, remember this, they're trying to take away all the guns anyway. So, you know, for them to have mass murders means very little to them. Remember this, everybody is expendable. Every single person in this country is expendable, including the President of the United States. Everybody. There's nobody. There's no exception to this rule. Everybody is expendable. And what they're showing now with these mass killings is that you need to get rid of every gun you have in your house and give them to us so we can control the guns.
Right. They can control the guns. They can control the food. They can control your health care. They want all your medical records so they know how to get you faster. They want to control all the money. They want to take your money away. In July, the president signed that executive order so he can look more into our lives and what's happening. The president is just a front person. He's not even the person making the decisions. He's unable to make any decisions, to do anything. He has made a mess of this country. I was even in the market last night, and the manager, who happens to be black, he says, people hate Obama. And he asked me, because we've talked before, he's a Christian, he asked me why. I said, well, it's not his color. It's his policies. It's what's happening in the country. And then he said he was sorry. He shouldn't have brought that up at work. But people are starting to talk.
Absolutely.
Amongst themselves, because if he's saying this to me at the market, and even when I go to some of the department stores and I just talk to the kids and different things, I'm surprised that they're all talking about this now. Which is good, which is wonderful.
Well, they should be talking about it.
Right, because they're going to die.
They should be talking about it. They should be talking about it because this is the future, you know. And if we don't get this thing right, there will be no future.
Exactly, and I was just at a Tea Party group, and I said that we have to be compassionate. We have to hear what people are saying. We have to get out there. We have to speak up. We have to unite together to save one another, or we're going to die. And I'm going to tell everybody, as a hostage in Iran, in my own home with the constant death calls, that was 1978. What is that, 35 years ago, 36 years ago? We're going to die, everybody, unless you all get up and do something. It is so scary. I cannot say this enough. I'm a valley girl that somehow, by the grace of God, he opened my eyes. I was a military wife for 21 years. I've been everywhere and met almost everybody. But we're going to die unless we unite together and love one another, lead with the Lord's love, lead with the Lord's caring. Just like my big thing is that we all help each other with our gifts and our talents to make it. Educate, educate. So many of you know the truth. You know about history. They want to change history. They want to change English. They want to dummy down every single subject out there. Now, California, okay, these kids, they need their own bathrooms, but they don't have to be in everybody's bathroom. It's just wild and immoral. And when all this happens and God goes away, everything dies. All the great nations fell in immorality.
Absolutely, absolutely. Listen, you got about 60 seconds, then I got to bring on my good friend Mary. Let her close it out. Say whatever you want. You got 60 seconds.
Okay, Dorothy, please call me Mary. I love you. You're a fabulous lady with what you tell us. Reverend Pinckney, I love you. Please contact me with all your workers' comp complaints from across the country. I need to know where you all are. It's Rozzy Wow, capital letters, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com. Rozzy Wow, R-O-Z-Y-W-O-W at AOL.com. I thank the good Lord. Let's lead in God's love with each other. God can turn everything around. We just need to speak up. He wants us to speak up. Proverbs 31:9, like Mary says, speak up for the poor and needy. We need to help each other. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney, and thank
all right.
you, God.
Listen, I want you to call that number. Did you write that number down?
Yeah, I did. 517-355-2167, Terry Bent.
And just give them a call for me, then email me and let me know what they say.
Okay, I definitely will.
All right, now. You have a good day. We'll talk soon. My good friend Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney. I'm afraid I have a lot more news in the few minutes we have left.
But just take as much time as you need. You're going
to
close it out, so you got the answer.
Times more likely to be killed by a police officer than by a terrorist. And that news came from the U.S. National Security Council. Now, for minorities and the mentally ill, that would probably be 90 times more likely. But we don't have those figures. We don't know how often the mentally ill or minorities are killed by police, and that is intentional. Nobody is keeping record of how many of the police-related deaths, how many of the police brutality cases have black or mentally ill victims. Nobody's keeping those records, sir, nobody at all, as far as they tell us. And that is because we're not allowed to keep those records. As you know, I've been reporting crimes against humanity ever since my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested and murdered in Memphis Shelby County Jail in 2003. And they refused to give us any records or any accountability whatsoever for that police murder. Now, what happened is I decided to make a complaint to the UN. And when I went to the UN website to find out how I do that, they asked the question. They said, have you exhausted all remedy in your own countries? And I knew that there was one avenue. Oh, I've written to Congress. I've written to senators. I have been to court twice and sued the dirty COINTELPRO Jenny Cochran firm, which helps police hide murders. I have written to human and civil rights organizations. I have been on radio dozens and dozens and probably hundreds of times. I have thousands of articles online under my 10-9 Mary Loves Justice or at nowpublic.com. I use Duo, D-U-O. I have videos online. So I have told everybody in my country who should demand accountability for this murder. So the only person I had not contacted was the OIG, that's the Office of, the Office of, what is that, Inspector General over the USDOJ. That's the Office of Inspector General over the USDOJ. I had not complained to him. And so on August 18th, I filled out an online complaint to the Office of Inspector General. And I called the office, and I was told that it takes about 30 days to process complaints. And I should hear from them somewhere within the 30 days. Well, the 30 days passed, in fact, 31 days passed, and I'm being called, the Office of Inspector General, and they told me they never received my online complaint. In spite of the fact that I received a receipt from that office for the online complaint. Now, NSA is, they are conducting a cyber war against activists and human rights advocates in the United States and probably other countries too. So I can't say whether or not he received the complaint and is lying because he doesn't want responsibility to answer for this murder or whether he did not receive the complaint. But he will receive the next complaint because I will certainly see that he gets a United States mail return receipt requested. So these people are hiding. They're hiding from justice. You are sitting back afraid to speak out. Well, they are very afraid of you. They are terrified of you. They're terrified of all of these lies and all of this destruction and all of these murders that they've done. They're terrified of all of these families and neighbors speaking up and standing up. So that is why we're finally getting some activity regarding the prison profiteers. Oh, we got prison puppeteers, people who make their money by imprisoning others, whether they're guilty or innocent. And so we're finally getting some action from Congress and from our Attorney General about this prison puppeteering that's been going on throughout America for at least the last 40 years. But now, here come the private prisons, they're speaking back. And they're saying, listen, if we, remember, if you don't keep your contract fulfilled, Reverend Pinkney, did you know they had a contract to keep prisons a certain amount full?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes, they have a contract to keep prisons full at a certain occupancy rate. So if they promise to keep that prison 90% full, they got to fulfill that contract, or the private prisons have reminded them, you have to pay us. Well, you see, everything comes down to money. And so our prisons are full because they are having to dodge paying the private prison owners if they let those prisons fall down below a certain occupancy. Crime is way down, sir. Especially violent crime, it is way down all over the United States of America. So what can they do? The thing is, we have got to let them know that either way you go, you got money to pay. Because if you try to keep people in prison on these low-level offenses, if you try to keep arresting innocent individuals to keep some kind of contract fulfillment, then we are going to boycott for justice. We need to pick out one product made in prison, whether it's Victoria's Secret, or whether it's some of these office products, or whether it's Microsoft. We need to pick out one of these products that's made in prison and run that company out of business as a warning to the rest of the companies that we mean business. We need to stand up for our brothers and sisters who are poor and oppressed and everyone who is at risk of death by the enemy. And we
absolutely
need to keep
listen.
These people.
You got about 30 seconds.
We need to keep
seconds.
These people on the run while they're on the run and let them know that, hey, you're 350 million to a few thousand in America. And
all right.
Worldwide, you got 7 billion to a few thousand. And there are more of us than there are of them, and we got to start standing up in our strength. And mostly our strength coming from the Lord who maketh the day and the night. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
All right. All right. Listen, we don't have any more time left, and I just want to thank you so much and just keep up the great work. And listen, let's stay in touch.
Absolutely, Robert.
And Mary, also, don't forget, I want you to call that number, that 517-355-2167 number, and just tell them that, you know, that stop to take over the city of Benton Harbor and get rid of Tony Saunders. We'll talk about
get
that
rid
later.
Of Tony Saunders.
Yeah,
get
he's
rid
the
of
emergency
everybody
manager.
Stands against righteousness and men of God.
Amen. Listen, got to let you go. This is the end, and I will talk to y'all soon. Let's listen to Wake Up, Everybody. Little Teddy Pendergrass.
I know we can do it if we all lift our heads.
had a well